In Rimby, we begin our Lenten season following through a sermon series on Psalm 23. I'm not in Rimby today, but I prepared this message for this Sunday for Rimby and for you. So we begin from Psalm 23. We read that together, the NIV version, as you would have in your pew Bible. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of my Lord forever.
Amen.
Let us pray. Lord God, help us turn our hearts to You, to hear what You will speak. For You speak peace to Your people through Christ, our Lord. Amen. I titled today's message, Who's Your Shepherd? I've been reading a book by Philip Keller, who was himself a shepherd, and writes a book based on Psalm 23. Philip Keller, not to be confused with Tim Keller, who is very well known, Philip Keller trained as an agrologist at the University in Toronto, spent many years in agricultural research, land management, and ranch management, and he wrote his first book on Psalm 23, published in 1970. And from this book, many of the reflections inspired what I am saying today. The Lord is my shepherd. Who is the Lord? The Lord, in Hebrew, Yahweh. The all-revered name of God, the great I Am. Yes, the Lord God Almighty Himself, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who breathed stars into existence by the billions, into an eternal expanse of universe that it goes on forever and ever, just to reflect something of His own glory, of His own eternity, something to reflect the grandeur and greatness of who God is. This great God, our Lord, who reveals Himself as so grand and great beyond our imagination, is yet so interested in the finite or the finite details of His created order, so that even in microbiology, as you study single-celled organisms and the complexity of a single-celled organism, you discover how God took care of even the smallest of details. It's just amazing to contemplate how this great God could be so interested in such small details.
Amen.
So the God of great and the God of incredibly small microscopic details is the same God who says, I love you. He is our guardian. He is my guide. He's the watchman by day and by night, the guardian of my soul and my life. And He demonstrates His love for us, His sheep, First, by sending His one and only begotten Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, to be born of a virgin and to take on human flesh and to subject Himself to everything that we experience. Hunger, thirst, pain, sorrow, injustice, betrayal. But not only the hardships, He also came to join us in experiencing joy, laughter, tasting fantastic dishes, roasted lamb, hot peppers, fried fish. He came to experience and enjoy making things with His own hands out of wood as a carpenter's son. He came to experience the closeness of intimate relationships, of trust, of love, of fellowship with human beings.
Amen.
Yes, that Lord, our shepherd. My shepherd.
Amen.
The one who knows us intimately.
Amen.
Inside out. This very personal presence in Jesus Christ, His Son, He exposed Himself to the most torturous method of execution ever imagined, that of crucifixion, so that He might experience for us something that we should never or will never have to experience: the angry condemnation of God for sin. And not for the sins of His own Son, but for our sins. Isaiah 53, verse 5 says, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him. And by His wounds we are healed." Yahweh, why would He do this to His own Son except out of an incredibly intense love for His creation, for His people, for His sheep, the sheep of His pastures? God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him might not perish, but have eternal life, says John in chapter 3, verse 16. The Son of God identifies Himself with the Father, the shepherd, about whom David wrote in Psalm 23, saying about Himself from John chapter 10, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he's a thief, he's a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out.
Amen.
When he has brought all of his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees didn't understand what he was telling them. So Jesus therefore said again, "Truly, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Amen.
For I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep. He runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen, but I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice. There shall be one flock, one shepherd.
Amen.
The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down.
Amen.
And authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father.
Amen.
So do you still wonder if Yahweh, the God who loves us, if Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is worthy of your trust? He didn't just say he would lay down his life for us. He did lay down his life for us. Jesus spoke about the false shepherds, the hireling, the one who runs when the wolf comes, the one who leaves the sheep behind. He doesn't really care because he's not invested. They're not his. But Jesus invested his blood for our sake.
Amen.
He purchased our redemption on the cross.
Amen.
When David wrote this psalm, he wrote it from a sheep's perspective, though he could have well written it from a shepherd's perspective because he himself was a shepherd before he became king. And yet he writes from the sheep's perspective because he knows that he himself is more like the sheep that walks his own path and goes astray and doesn't always follow the shepherd's voice. But the shepherd seeks the lost sheep to find him. And he knows what it's like to be a sheep and to be in a place where he feels safe, where he's well cared for, well fed, watered. He knows that sheep cannot lie down and rest, even in green pastures, if they are troubled and harassed by parasites, by flies. And he knows that if there's a bully amongst the herd and the shepherd is not present to watch over the sheep and to keep the peace, so to speak, that there's no rest for the weakling, the one who gets bullied. But when the shepherd is present, everything changes. The shepherd anoints the sheep's head with oil that is an insect repellent that gives them a sense of welfare and peace so that they can rest. The shepherd loves his sheep, and he makes sure that there is pasture sufficient for all of his sheep.
Amen.
And he knows where it's safe to lead them, where they can get a drink without the worry of being swept away by rushing waters.
Amen.
He knows what his sheep need, and he provides.
Amen.
We are so blessed that Christ's blood was shed for us.
Amen.
That we are symbolically washed in the blood.
Amen.
And so no longer are stained by sin.
Amen.
And by that marking, we are, it's that sign that we belong to Christ, that we belong to him, that he is ours and we are his.
Amen.
When Philip first bought a bunch of ewes, 36 of them, he had to register his trademark on these sheep so that they would be forever recognized as his. So if one of them ever broke through the fence and got mixed up with somebody else's sheep, they would be able to identify his from whoever else's sheep. And they did that by marking their ears. So they had to cut the sheep at a certain place with a certain angle of cut or however they did it to identify their trademark for their sheep. And he said it was the kind of the hardest thing for him to do. He just got these sheep and he was looking forward, excited about, you know, being their shepherd and there being his sheep. And the first thing he has to do is, felt like I got to injure my sheep. I got to cut their ear. And they're going to feel a little bit of pain. And it reminded me of God's first mark on his people when he told Abraham, you and all your male children must be circumcised, a cutting of the flesh, a shedding of blood, that you might be marked as mine.
Amen.
Jesus cut his flesh.
Amen.
He was pierced for our transgressions.
Amen.
He shed his blood that we could be marked as his sheep. And so today, instead of circumcision, we are now marked by the waters of baptism.
Amen.
And so we are carrying upon us the mark of Christ.
Amen.
The mark of Christ. Really, it's the cross of Christ imprinted upon our hearts that calls us as his, identifies us as his own.
Amen.
But the cross of Christ is not only a mark of identity that we belong to the Lord, it's also a call to faith and obedience.
Amen.
The shepherd sends out his message, his voice, and the sheep hear and obey it.
Amen.
They follow him. And so the question for us as we consider this time of Lent, Christ, yes, has offered his blood. And we long to be his sheep. We know that we are his. Are we willing to carry the mark, the cross of Christ upon us? Are we proud to be identified as his sheep? When David wrote this psalm, you can only imagine as sheep looking to the shepherd how proud David would be to say, the Lord, the Almighty Lord God, Creator, he's my shepherd. He's my shepherd.
Amen.
He will take care of me. He was proud, excited, glad that this was his shepherd, because he knows there are other kinds of shepherds. The false shepherds, the careless ones, who are more concerned about what the sheep upon sale will bring for them.
Amen.
Who are maybe more concerned about the taste of their meat after slaughter than they care about how well they're cared for. He knows that there are bad shepherds out there. But he says, the Lord God, he's my shepherd.
Amen.
I belong to him. Let us consider, who is our shepherd?
Amen.
Who is your shepherd? Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, creator of all things, living and non-living, you know us so completely, and in spite of the sin and corruption within us, you love us dearly. In spite of the fact that we, like sheep, have gone astray, each one of us, taking our own path, still you offer to pay the penalty for our rebellion. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us.
Amen.
Be the voice that directs us, that calms our fears, that leads us into peace, to be at ease enough to rest our minds and our bodies,
Amen.
To be refreshed by the living water.
Amen.
Refresh our souls. Lead us down paths of righteousness, that we might not be stumbling blocks to others, causing them to lose their way into the darkness of night.
Amen.
May the imprint of the cross be on our hearts and shine through into our lives, and so be an expression of your peace, of your love, of your righteousness. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.